Welcome to the Sunflower Conversations, where we explore the hidden disability sunflower and its role in supporting people with hidden disabilities.
Joining me today on the Sunflower Conversations is my colleague, Paul Shriver. How are you today, Paul?
I'm very well, Chantel. The sun is shining.
Also joining us today is Lorna. Lorna is a musician. Lorna wears the sunflower because she has Meniere's disease, which falls under the category of vestibular disorders. How are you, Lorna?
I'm great. I'm good. I'm having a good day today.
So. That's good to hear. So we're going to find out about Meniere's disease.
I get varying degrees of vertigo, so I can have clusters of vertigo attacks, so which means that for weeks on end, I can have anything from 1 to 3 attacks of vertigo a day, which can last seconds or it can last minutes or hours. I also get drop attacks, which aren't pleasant. So they're basically what they sound like. You just literally just fall and collapse to the ground. I had them years and years ago and then they stopped. And then in December, they came back again, which it's scary. It's not nice, you know, sort of just
that presumably can happen anywhere.
Yeah, any place, anytime, anywhere.
Like that advert.
Yeah.
So with the vertigo, can you explain to us, because extreme severe dizziness, can you actually explain what is that like to feel that?
It's not the best thing to have. So it's like being on the waltzers, you know, sort of. So your eyes, you have like rotational vertigo. And sometimes I'll say to my partner, just leave me beside the toilet, put a blanket, give me some water, and then, you know, come and check on me in a couple of hours.
That's horrendous. And what other symptoms do you experience, Lorna?
So I have a cacophony of noises. So it's my left side that's affected. So I have constant tinnitus of varying pitches and degrees of volume. I have a whooshing sound that's constantly there as well. I also get a fullness, so it's like your ear feels like totally blocked, and that can fluctuate as well. So
I was going to say, I did a little bit of reading about it, and the fullness in the ear can be an indication of the fluid, and then that's perhaps when your symptoms would be more severe. But is there anything you can do at that point when you feel that fullness to it not be full? Or
unfortunately,
no.
That's what the some of the medication is meant to help alleviate the fullness, you know, and some of the medication work for people amazingly. Unfortunately, I've got quite a severe sort of bout of Meniere's, so I'm going to have to go down a different route. Yeah, also, I think something that a lot of people don't realize is the air pressure. I get really affected with the low pressure. So when we've just had those 4 bouts of storms up here, and it's just been a nightmare for me personally, with like the pressure just intensified, the tinnitus and then the vertigo.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've heard of people that they do suffer, that use that word, with migraines, and that can be related to weather. I guess it might be the same thing.
Yeah. It's just, so I always know when we're going to get rubbish weather because my ear's like the first one to tell me.
Do you get migraines with it or headaches?
No, so there's a condition called vestibular migraines, which is, there's a very fine line between that and Meniere's disease. So I might be wrong in saying this, but I think the difference is with Meniere's, you get the fluctuating hearing loss, and I think, if I remember correctly, with vestibular migraines, you don't.
Also experience chronic fatigue.
Yeah, so with the Meniere's, so when you've had, after you've had your vertigo, your body's just like, and you're absolutely exhausted and drained, and sometimes like doing the smallest activity can just knock you. You know, I've sometimes just stayed in bed for like 12 hours, or I've slept solid for 12 hours to recover from
That's similar to epilepsy, isn't it, in many ways? you know, that triggers for me a thought about epilepsy when
really?
People have a seizure. Yeah, that they're absolutely physically and everything drained from it.
Is it your brain or is it your
brain is sort of trying to compensate with all the misinformation that it's being given, so it's working overtime, and plus it's trying to compensate for the lack of balance that you have, so you know it's working like twice as hard or three times as hard to try and keep you upright and stable. But the physicality of actually having the vertigo attack and being sick and having all these symptoms is physically and mentally draining.
It's a whole body experience, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not just the physical experience of the vertigo or the visual experience of the vertigo. It's the whole body is affected.
And are other people who have Meniere's disease, do they experience the same symptoms? Is it kind of the same for everybody?
Roughly, yeah, in various sort of degrees. Some people will be fortunate and, you know, will only have like attacks of vertigo maybe once a month or like a couple of times a year, or, you know, the medication's helping them sort of alleviate their situation and stuff. So, but the main symptoms are the vertigo, fluctuating hearing loss, the tinnitus and the fullness and the pressure.
Is it something that you were born with?
Truthfully, I had quite a big night out. I'd been out partying one night in 2003, and I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and I walked into the wall.
Yeah.
And like, hey, what's going on here? And I remember
the alcohol, Lorna.
Well, that's what I thought at first. And then I was sitting on the toilet and I literally did have spinning, like the whole room was rotating. And then it lasted for a whole week.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I remember going to the doctors and they thought I had a viral infection in my inner ear called labyrinthitis. And they were like, you'll be fine. You know, just plenty of fluids. And then 2004, it really kicked off. So I hadn't had anything from that first time till 2004.
Do you think walking into the wall did something to your head? Then you walked in the wall because of it?
Because my balance was gone and I wasn't, you know, aware of what was happening.
What do you think triggers it?
Well, it's a buildup of fluid that gets trapped in your inner ear and it sends off the wrong signal to your brain. So it's almost like your brain's going, okay, I'm on a boat, I'm getting travel sick, and you know, so let's, you know, I know how to handle that, so let's, you know, we have to make you sick. And you know, it's just misinformation firing to your brain, but a lot of it is because there's too much fluid getting trapped in your ear. So I know if I'm stressed, a lot worse.
Everything affects everything, doesn't it?
And I think that's the hard part of sort of coming to realize that that's the case, you know, and accepting that, you know, your body and how you feel and what your mind is, it's all connected, and try and make changes as subtle as they are to try and make changes to sort of improve that sort of situation for yourself. 2004, my vertigo, so I started getting vertigo a lot more. I would just collapse. I was getting drop attacks in the streets, which was really horrific for myself and for passers-by, because not only like, so it's a bit like when if you have MS and you can't walk straight and people think you're drunk. I'd be walking my dog and the next thing you just get this almighty sort of gravitational pull that just pulls you down to the ground and everything's sort of spinning. Like, you're just like, yeah, I'm on the ground. How did that happen?
Does it feel like a sort of a poltergeist has jumped up and grabbed you to the floor?
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible. It really, really isn't nice. So, you know, that's why I think these will be a lifesaver for people that get out.
Sunflower lanyard.
Yeah, definitely. So my vertigo was just awful. And I literally had the first year of it, proper year of it. I was pretty much housebound. You know, I didn't want to go out because I was too scared to go out on my own. And friends and family were getting worried. So within that first year, the GP was sending lots of letters to ENT. Nobody knew what was happening. Nobody had said it could be Meniere's disease. Nobody knew what was going on. Fortunately, my family were in a position to pay for me to go private. And he was like, okay, we need to do an MRI scan just to see what's going on, and we'll inject a blue dye that will go around your brain and stuff like that.
You are listening to the Sunflower Conversations with Chantel and Paul. To learn more about the sunflower, please visit our website. Details are in the show notes.
From 2003 to 2004, after that one initial week-long period, I had nothing, absolutely nothing. And then 2004, I was getting a continual attacks of vertigo that would happen sort of maybe fortnightly. I would get them fortnightly and stuff, and it was building up. The severity of the vertigo was building up. So I was a music youth worker, and I collapsed one time. That's sort of when it was getting progressively worse, you know, and it was affecting my life, my career, everything. It was impacting everything. And I've got all my medical records now. So, and it's quite funny to actually see, tracing back on everything, the amount of letters my GP had to send to ENT going, look, we're really worried about our patient, you know, she needs to be seen. And so that's when my family sort of stepped in and said, no, let's just get you in private and just see actually what's going on and try and get this.
How long did it take to get properly diagnosed?
So when I got my MRI scans back, that's when I got the diagnosis. So from initially seeing him, it was under 2 months.
Goodness me, that's actually quite quick, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really quick.
How did you feel when you got diagnosed?
I was like, what on earth is this? I've never heard of Meniere's disease. How's it going to impact? So, I mean, thankfully, I discovered the Meniere Society. Them, and they sent out an information pack of so much information about it.
And is there any history in your family?
Nope. The only thing was my mum had multiple sclerosis. Oh. So when I was eight, I started getting tinnitus when I was eight. And I just thought it was normal. I thought everybody had it. And it was in my left ear. I just thought it was normal. Everybody had it. So I never sort of complained about it. I never sort of brought up that I've got this constant ringing. And then I would always get earaches in my left ear. So I don't know if that's...
Yeah.
A connection, or, you know,
a precursor to something coming. I don't know.
My mum, she had vertigo, and then she then got tinnitus as a result of that. Afterwards, the statistics are that between 1 in 1,000 and 1 in 2,000 of the population. Mm-hmm. So it's not super common, is it?
No. I'm one of the lucky ones, I guess.
Planned options have you been?
So I think I've been on every medication that the GPs and the consultants can give me. So I'm currently, and I've always been on beta histine, so which is a histine that activates the histine receptors that are in the walls of the blood vessels that are in your inner ear. And its sort of main aim is to reduce the pressure that's in your ear, basically. Okay. Try and alleviate the amount of fluid and stuff, which would then therefore sort of help with the vertigo. So that's the most common medication. I think in America it's called Circ.
Okay. So histine, is that where we get antihistamine?
Yeah. When I first started taking this medication back in 2004, it was the only one. So the doctors had me on everything and nothing would settle it. And beta histine was the only one that started to sort of calm things down. But then my body randomly started taking an allergic reaction to it, so I would come out in huge hives all over my back and up my arms and stuff. So
and then is this when it becomes red and itchy?
Yeah, so it's like a stinging nettle. Then have to take antihistamines as well to sort of counter react. So throughout that first part of the journey, I mean, my Meniere's got so bad that they were wanting to do a labyrinthectomy on me, which is an operation which destroys the hearing and the vestibular functions of the inner ear. So I would be deaf and I would have to relearn how to walk again because it was getting so severe.
That's major, Lorna. My goodness.
And then at the last sort of moment, I decided, no, I don't want to do that. So I didn't do that. And weirdly enough, everything stopped. My hearing sort of returned to some better extent than what it previously was. I still had like the pressure in my ear and the tinnitus. That's never gone. But the vertigo stopped and it was just so random. But it was great. It meant I could get my life
as a musician.
Yeah, I could build my career again. And at the end of 2019, that's when it all kicked off, and it's all kicked off even more than
big style. You mentioned the hearing aid. Is the hearing aid to help you combat the vertigo or the tinnitus? Or
no, it's to so I can hear.
Oh, okay. Because you've got such hearing loss.
Because of the menus, it's destroying my hearing. So that's part, you know, you can go deaf from it. You know, so it has, I think, 70% it's destroyed.
Did you have a hearing impairment, Lorna? Do you have issues with your hearing now?
Yes, yeah. I do have a hearing aid at the minute.
And
yeah.
You use that daily, or is that something you...
No, I find the overall sound of it quite, it's sort of not very pleasant, and it actually can get quite painful sometimes in the head. So I do wear it when I need to.
Have you tried alternative therapies?
I did previously in the first, I revert to like the first part, which was like 2004 to 2011. Yeah. In that part, yes, I very much went down the alternative therapies. I would see a chiropractor regularly.
Yeah.
Because being a musician, you know, I play bass guitar and, you know, they're not the lightest things to have round your shoulders all the time and stuff. So I was sort of trying to think, well, is it my neck that's causing this? And, you know, so I would go and see a chiropractor and it did help. You know, I don't know if it didn't cure my menus. And I would get reflexology on my feet, because what I was realizing as well was that sometimes the soles of my feet, there would be a certain spot that would be really, really tender when I was coming up for a vertigo attack and
everything stuff. Through the feet, isn't it?
Yeah. So it calmed me down, and it, you know, which in effect calms the mind.
Yes. Down. So what's next for you with regard to treatment?
So I had a thing called steroid injections. Put a very thin needle through your eardrum that goes all the way through to your inner ear, and they inject this steroid injection. So it's an anti-inflammatory, so it's to try and help alleviate things. But it had, and you know, actually, in all fairness, some people have amazing results with that, and that's just enough for them, and they can get that, you know, quite sort of once every 3 months or whenever they need it, or once every, you know, but my ear had other plans, and it just, yeah, that's when I started getting drop attacks and collapsing.
It's made it worse.
Yeah, it's made it worse. So I had two of them. Thankfully, you know, I'm very fortunate. I have a very good consultant in ENT. And so he was like, right, the next sort of line is to do a thing called gentamicin injections, and it's an antibiotic that it's the same way. So they inject straight through into the inner ear, and it destroys the balance organ and your hearing. So the theory is that it should stop the vertigo. But being a musician, I was like, no, that's the last thing, you know, because it's irreversible. I wouldn't be able to get my hearing back, and that's the last thing, you know, for me. I want to try and preserve as much of my hearing as I can.
Yes.
Yeah. And I said to, we had a big discussion, and I said to him, there's a surgery that I want to get, and it's called endomolymphatic sac decompression.
One word?
No.
Okay. No, decompression is a separate word.
Yeah. Endomolymphatic is one word. So yeah. I basically call it a sac decompression. the success rate is higher, and it doesn't destroy my hearing. I'm not going to have to sort of retrain to walk or anything like that. So it's less, even though it's intrusive because it's a bigger operation, hopefully keep my hearing and I don't have to sort of lose my balance as well. Biology is not my strong point, right? So I apologize if I get this wrong.
Doing better than what I could.
The theory is that by doing that, it'll stop the fluid coming into my ear, which will then stop the brain getting overloaded with all the wrong signals, which should stop the vertigo and release the pressure as well.
You are listening to the Sunflower Conversations with Paul and Chantal. To learn more about the sunflower, visit our website. Details are in the show notes.
So is that looking like you're on for that operation?
I'm getting it done this year.
And will you have that done near where you live, or have you got to travel a long way? It sounds like quite a specialist.
Yes. So when I spoke to my consultant, so my consultant's in Inverness, and he was very honest. He's like, I've got a very good professor consultant friend in Dundee that are way more advanced with Meniere's and their treatment. And he was lovely, and I had a big chat with him, and he's had, out of all the operations that he's done for this, he's had 100% success rate.
You know, how it's impacted you in terms, I don't know, of work, socially, relationships, has it been profound?
Yeah. It's, I think, because it's a hidden disability, like sometimes I could have the vertigo and people not, because I've hidden it from people that I work with, because I've been scared that it's going to impact me getting work, you know, especially if you're self-employed. It is hard. It's very isolating. Yeah. You know, you need to have, I'm very, very fortunate, and I have a very good support network. And I think I would be in such a different headspace if I didn't have that support.
Have you joined any support groups? Do you speak to other people that, you know, have this condition?
So online on Facebook, there's several groups in the UK that are a lifeline to everybody. And they've been a lifeline to me over the last sort of couple of years, especially with, like, because it's been so severe recently. It's hard, you know, because you are on your own. Yeah. And some are dealing with this as much as partners can empathize and support. You're still, you know, you have that isolation, and, you know, mentally it can bring you down.
And how has it affected your music, Lorna? Like, you know, the thing that's, I would imagine, if you're a musician, that your essence is music, so you've got hearing loss.
Yeah, so playing the bass, I have lost all my bass range in my ear, and I'm losing the top end as well now. So it can be quite hard to play too, you know. I struggle with that now. I'm struggling with certain things. But before, I think, do you know what? Sometimes in the first period, I sort of trained myself to fight through it. And I'd be on stage playing fairly big venues and doing my thing and going, nope, I'm not. Sort of taking your mind off the possibility that a vertigo attack is brewing and concentrating on what you're doing. So getting your brain to refocus on something else. I think that sort of served me well. There was one tour that I had to cancel last minute, and it was a big tour in Germany. And I felt so, so bad. Definitely it's impacted my career. And, you know, I was a music youth worker as well. And thankfully they were so sympathetic to what my condition was. And, you know, and if I needed time off for it, then there was no questions asked, and, you know, that takes the pressure off a wee bit.
You do need people as well, isn't it? To have
people around you that also that understand that and can support you, that's
definitely
really important.
There was a bit of shame, I guess, sort of saying to my music friends, peers, you know, about it, because I didn't want it to impact that side of my life. And it's always been on a need to know basis. So when this comes out, this will be the first time. I think there'll be quite a few shocked people.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, how are you feeling? Is this liberating for you, or is this terrifying, sharing your personal story?
A bit of both. A bit of both. know, but I just think, do you know what? It's part of me. It's who I am. And, you know, I've had to learn to live with it and to accept it and just have to make peace with the music world, you know, especially when it comes to your ears and your hearing. Nobody talks about issues relating to that because everybody's scared that they're not going to get hired. And
yeah, it's like everybody's hearing deteriorates over time anyway, yeah. doesn't it? Even yeah. if you don't have a disease or, you know, yeah. syndrome or condition.
Yeah, you have to look at your strength and how strong you've become to sort of cope with your day-to-day life and each situation. You know, you do get through it, you will get through it. We're all gonna have, I'm gonna have really rubbish days where I can't lift my head off the pillow and I'm hanging onto a bucket and stuff, but I know there's going to be better days.
Why do you wear the sunflower, Lorna?
Because I think it gives me that sort of peace of mind if I'm out in public and something does go a bit Pete Tong, that people know that I'm not drunk and just sort of judge, you know, and they can recognize it. And actually, I traveled for the first time to Europe the other day and I used this at the airports and I was amazed. This woman came up to me and said from the airport, she's like, are you exempt from wearing masks? And I was like, no. And she says, do you have a hidden disability? And I was like, yeah. And I was at the queue for the passport control and it was huge. And I was just like, and she's like, come with me. And she just took me straight up to the front.
Fantastic. What airport was
that? It was Edinburgh Airport. You know, they were totally, their staff are totally on it with the sunflower.
That's really good to hear. And that just, and that, because I'm imagining that you must have been traveling with a fair amount of anxiety.
It's the first time I've traveled in years. So
big deal, yeah. isn't it?
And I do have a walking stick as well at times when my balance is not great. So I was sort of a bit apprehensive about doing it, but it was great that it was recognised. So, yeah. And do you know what? I hope by the fact that you guys are taking on Meniere's disease, that it'll give other people that have Meniere's that are locking themselves away indoors because they're scared to go out, it'll just give them that bit of courage to go, actually, it's okay, I've got this, and it says everything it needs to say on the back, and you know, and it'll be okay.
And more awareness.
So yeah. What would you say to someone who's thinking, I don't know whether or not the sunflower would benefit me and support me with my non-visible disability?
Do it, embrace it. Don't hide, you know. The more people that are out there wearing them and, you know, being more visible with the invisibility of their disease, the better. You know, there's so many. So when I go in the supermarkets, you know, supermarkets can be quite hard sort of with the aisles, you know, that can bring on the vertigo in like a really random way, and it makes you unstable, and it is really helping a lot of people, you know, and it helps me get out and feel a bit more safer and not on my own. I think also it's the visual impact as well, you know, because making people see it and go, what's that, and they'll maybe Google what the sunflower lanyard is and you know, find out about it and realize and be a bit more have a bit more empathy towards people.
Do you see the future for yourself?
In my ideal world, I would just love it if my vertigo would just do one. When I heard that I was that the surgeon has agreed to my surgery, I cried because it's the first time in years, in the last few years, that I've had a bit of hope.
If you had some advice to somebody else out there who's perhaps experiencing similar symptoms that you've just described,
yeah,
what would that be?
There's certain things that you can do. So cutting out salt,
okay,
will help. Caffeine, I can't drink caffeine anymore because that was a huge trigger. I can't drink decaf drinks anymore because I found out in decaf tea they have a small amount of caffeine.
Right. That's like an alcohol-free beer. There's a teeny bit, isn't there?
Yeah, and it would still trigger me off. Yeah. So low salt, caffeine, alcohol would be my first sort of port of call. Next thing would be get on to Facebook groups, you know, because they're going to be the ones the people there understand firsthand of what you're going through, and get in touch with the Menia Society as well, because they're really, really useful. And also, do you know what? I just harangued my doctor, you know, and to get the, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I had to wait, I think it was 18 months to get the consultation with my ENT. And I know that we were in a pandemic. I ended up just phoning his secretary every month to know that you're not alone. We're out there. There's plenty of us out there sort of experienced the same as what you're going, or we're experiencing the same thing. And that's where I would definitely say get in touch with some of the social media groups and vent there as much as you like. There's lots of people venting about this disease on there.
Well, Lorna, on behalf of everybody, Chantel, myself and everybody, we wish you the very best.
Yeah, and keep in touch and let us know how it goes.
If you'd like to share your sunflower story or conversation, please email conversations@hiddendisabilitiesstore.com. Find out more about us or listen to this recording again by checking out our insights page at hiddendisabilitiesstore.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Please help, have patience, and show kindness to others, and join us again soon, making the invisible visible with the Hidden Disability Sunflower.